The subject of this talk is Muhammad foretold in the Christian Bible? It will come as something of a surprise to most Christians the first time they hear a Muslim say that Muhammad is actually foretold in our scriptures. It certainly came like that to me the first time I heard it. But it's a common belief of the Muslim people worldwide that both the Old and New Testaments predict the coming of Muhammad. And one might ask right from the outset, why do the Muslims look for predictions of Muhammad in the Bible? The reason is simply that in the Quran itself, there is a clear statement to the effect that Muhammad is foretold in the Jewish and Christian scriptures. It appears in Surah 7, verse 157, where the Quran says, those who follow the apostle, the unlettered prophet, whom they find mention in their own, meaning scriptures, in the Torah and the Injil, in the law and the gospel. And as a result of this, the Muslim world has for centuries searched through the Christian Bible, the texts of both the Old and New Testaments, to try and find the predictions of which this verse is believed to speak. And many arguments are brought forth. Very few of them today are new. In fact, the major arguments that the Muslims use to try and prove their case go back more than 1,000 years. Ali Tabari, in his book, The Book of Religion and Empire, which dates back to the 9th century after Christ, uses many of the arguments that the Muslims use to this very day to try and prove that Muhammad is foretold in the Bible. Some books written on this subject refer to many texts, particularly out of the Old Testament, to try and support the view that Muhammad is widely foretold. We won't have time to go into all of them. I will take the two major passages on which Muslims usually rely, one out of the Old Testament and one section out of the New, because it is in most Muslim writings that one finds these particular passages set forth as the obvious examples from both books of the coming of Muhammad as predicted in the Bible. The conclusion one can draw is that if it can be shown that these passages do not predict the coming of Muhammad, then others that are less relied on must be presumed to yield the same conclusion. We begin with a text in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18, where God, speaking to Moses, says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. The Muslims have three arguments to prove in their view that God was speaking to Moses of Muhammad. Firstly, they say that God had promised a prophet like Moses. And they argue that this text cannot refer to Jesus Christ, because, so they say, Moses was a great religious leader who actually took control of the leadership of his own people, whereas Jesus never had such an opportunity or never even tried to achieve such a thing. But he was just a prophet who eventually had very few followers at the end of his life. And they say, therefore, that this must be a reference to Muhammad, because Muhammad also, during his lifetime, took control of the Arab nation, virtually throughout the whole Arabian Peninsula, and became not only their prophet, but also their leader. They say further that Moses and Muhammad died natural deaths, they were born naturally, they were both married, and so on. Whereas they say, according to the Bible, Jesus was somewhat unique. He was born uniquely, he never married, and he died violently. And many other likenesses like these are brought forth to try and substantiate the fact that the prophet, like Moses, must have been Muhammad, and that it could not have been Jesus. Then the second point they use is the words from among their brethren. They say that these words imply that the prophet who was to come like unto Moses was not to come from among the people of Israel or the Israelite tribes, but from their brethren, meaning from the brothers of the Israelites. And they say that as Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, that this must refer to the brethren of the children of Isaac, naturally the children of Ishmael. And so therefore they say that Muhammad must be the one foretold. And their third argument is that God said, I will put my words in his mouth, and this is what they say is exactly the case in the Quran, where the word of God came to Muhammad and the angel Jibreel appeared to him and dictated the Quran to him and made him recite it back to him. And in so doing, he received the word of God into his own mouth. And these are the three main arguments used by the Muslims to prove, in their view, that Deuteronomy 18:18 is a direct prediction of the coming of Muhammad. Well, how do we answer? From the Christian perspective, the first thing we notice is that the Muslim argument really doesn't take hold of the real issue. There were many, many prophets who came after Moses. There was Joshua. He also took control of the people of Israel. He also was a great prophet. There was David. He was also the king of the nation, prophet of God who ruled his people, who was born naturally and died naturally and was married, and so on. You can say of many prophets that God had put his word in their mouths. In fact, exactly this very thing is said of Jeremiah. God said to him, I will put my words in your mouth. And Jesus himself on one occasion said that everything the Father had commanded him to say and speak, that he had indeed spoken. So you can take these various likenesses and you can make them fit all sorts of different prophets in Old Testament history. Likewise, you can see that there are similarities between Jesus and Moses that make Muhammad differ from both of them. For example, Moses and Jesus were both Israelites, whereas Muhammad, at best, was a descendant of Ishmael, if he was. And so you find that the arguments can be taken around in something of a circle, and one never will really get to any kind of definite conclusion merely by speculating on the various clauses used in this text. One has to look at the context. One has to look at what is actually really being stated in this passage. And we go just a few verses earlier to Deuteronomy 18 verses 15 to 16, and we find these words. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. Him shall you heed, just as you desired on the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the one thing we learn from this text, which is very similar to verse 18, is that the prophet who was promised would be one who would be raised up just as the people had asked of the Lord their God at Horeb, where the old covenant as we know it, the covenant which God had for the people of Israel, was mediated through Moses. We are seeing in this text the promise of a unique prophet to come. Not just any prophet. Not just someone who could be shown in various ways to be like Moses. Many prophets followed Moses. But obviously this text is referring to someone who would be unique. Someone who would stand out. Someone who would be exceptional. And the first thing we are told is that he would be like Moses in the sense that he would be the mediator of a new covenant. Secondly, we find that God had a unique relationship with Moses. In Exodus 33 and verse 11, we read, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. The Quran confirms this unique feature in Moses' relationship with God when it says of him in Surah 4, verse 164, and to Moses God spoke directly. This is something that singled Moses out, that made him somewhat different. And we find this unique relationship between Moses and God defined as one of the characteristics of his prophethood. And in Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 to 11, very important verses in this connection, we find these words. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt. And there you have a clear statement that since the time of Moses, there had not arisen a prophet like him. And here come the distinctive features which mark him out. One, the Lord knew him face to face. And then again, another point, in all the signs and the wonders which God sent him to do. It's well known that Moses performed many mighty miracles, opening the Red Sea and so on. Well, Muhammad fulfilled none of these unique features in Moses' life. He was most unlike him in these respects. Firstly, he did not, nor did he ever claim to mediate a covenant between God and his people. Secondly, we find that he did not know God face to face, because the heritage of Islam teaches quite plainly that the Quran came to Muhammad, as Muslims believe, through the mediation of the angel Jibril, and was never dictated to him face to face. According to the Bible, there was a constant direct communication and contact between God and Moses. God used to speak to him directly. But the Quran, according to Muslim belief, was sent down to the first heaven, and from there it was transmitted piecemeal to Muhammad by the angel Jibril. So Muhammad certainly did not know God face to face, or did not speak to him directly in connection with the revelations coming to him. And then thirdly, Muhammad performed no miracles. Notwithstanding teachings in the hadith literature, very fanciful stories that we find there about all sorts of miracles that Muhammad was supposed to have performed. The Quran states quite plainly that he performed no miracles. Says that God could have given him miracles if he wanted to, could have given him signs, but did not. The Quran, according to Muhammad, was his only miracle. One only needs to refer to one text here in this connection, because it is actually very significant. It has a direct bearing on our subject, and it is Surah 28 and verse 48, and it reads as follows. The leaders of Mecca, the Quraysh, the Arabs who were in opposition to Muhammad, are recorded as saying, why are not, implying signs, sent to him like those which were sent to Moses? Why is he not like Moses? That's the exact statement of the Quran in respect of the signs and the wonders which he performed. So although Muslims say that Muhammad was the prophet like Moses, it is interesting to find that there is a clear statement in the Quran which says that, in fact, in one of the unique features of Moses' prophethood, Muhammad was most definitely not like him at all. And so we can comfortably conclude, just on the question of likeness, that Muhammad was not the prophet foretold by Moses. Instead, we will find that it was Jesus. It is important to note that in the Christian scripture, in the New Testament, there are two deliberate references to Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. It's actually quoted directly. And on both cases, we find that the text is applied to Jesus. It's quite clearly expressed as a fulfillment of the prophecy. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world fulfilled Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. And the first is in Acts 3, verse 22, where we find the Apostle Peter claiming that all the prophets had foretold the coming of Jesus Christ, and in proof that Moses had done so, he quotes Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Likewise, the early Christian martyr Stephen appealed to the same text as a proof that Moses was one of those who, in his words, had announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, namely Jesus, whom the Jews had now betrayed and crucified. So both Peter and Stephen clearly identified Jesus as the one of whom Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 spoke. And let us see how Jesus did, in fact, fulfill the unique features in the life of Moses that were to be emulated in the prophet to follow. Firstly, We know that Jesus mediated a new covenant. The Bible states quite plainly of him that Jesus was the mediator of a new covenant, Hebrews 9, verse 15. And we find that both covenants were confirmed by blood. In Exodus 24, verse 8, it says, Moses took the blood and threw it upon the people and said, Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and elsewhere in the Gospels, we find Jesus saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. So we have a clear statement in the New Testament to the effect that Jesus fulfilled the prediction of another mediator of a covenant, in this case the new covenant which God had specifically predicted in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, and in this way he emulated Moses who mediated the first covenant. Then secondly, we find that Jesus knew God face to face, just as Moses had done. We find in Exodus 34 and verse 30 that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone when God spoke to him. He came down from the mountain and his face actually shone because of the exposure he had to God directly as he spoke to him. But then in Matthew 17 and verse 2, we find very much the same thing said about Jesus. When he was transfigured, when he stood on that mountain and God spoke directly to the disciples of Jesus and said, This is my beloved Son, the Bible tells us that the face of Jesus shone like the sun. Again, that direct exposure and the direct reflection of the glory of God through him is in fulfillment of the prediction of Deuteronomy 18:18 that the prophet to follow Moses would be like him. And then thirdly, we find, as is well known and not disputed by Muslims, that Jesus performed many mighty miracles. You'll recall that for many years Moses fed the people of Israel with bread, manna that came down from above, and Jesus is recorded at least on two occasions as having taken only a few loaves of bread and having fed thousands of people with them. And after the first occasion where he fed 5,000 people, and that's just men only, never mind women and children, with bread from five loaves and only two fishes, the people said, John 6:14, when they saw the sign which he had done, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. It was very simple. They saw a sign, and they then concluded he must be the prophet foretold by Moses, because no one had arisen in Israel like Moses for all the signs and wonders which he had done. And two things are obvious from this text, and Muslims should take note of them. Firstly, that by this time, the people of Israel anticipated that the prophet would arise from among their own people, not from the Ishmaelites or anyone else. And secondly, that they expected that he would be a mighty worker of miracles, as Moses had been. We then come, in pursuance of this, to the expression among their brethren. And one asks, why did these people expect that the prophet would arise in Israel and not out of the descendants of Ishmael? Well, when we go to Deuteronomy 18, verses 1 to 2, which introduce the passage where the great prophecy in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 comes, we find a very clear statement defining who the they and who the their brethren are. The two verses read as follows. The Levitical priests, that is, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall have no inheritance among their brethren. Now it's very clear who their brethren are. They means the Levites. Their brethren means the other tribes of Israel. So, maintaining consistency, Deuteronomy 18:18 properly interpreted must mean I will raise up for them, that is the Levites, a prophet like you from among their brethren, meaning the other tribes of Israel. So the Muslims are not right when they speculate and say that they means the people of Israel and their brethren means the sons of Ishmael. It's quite clear, it cannot be doubted from the context of this passage that the their brethren refers to the other 11 tribes of Israel and not to some other nation.